Oh, hello. Well, this is Editor B. And what a fine state of affairs this is. I'm all alone on this fourth edition of J&B's Nightcap. It's just B. There's no J. How, you ask, has this travesty come to pass? Well, I'll get to that in a moment, but I do want to start things off properly with the Nightcap. I've been looking forward to this for a little while, so I want to get right to it. I don't really know what this is called. It's just something that I've envisioned. I've been drinking Acapulcos all night, and so I thought this would be a fitting Nightcap to that. This is not an Acapulco by any stretch of the imagination. What it is, well, I've got some coconut water here, and I'm going to pour about half a glass full, or however much coconut water is actually left in here. Actually, it's quite a bit. But anyway, coconut water, if you're not familiar with it, is not to be confused with coconut milk. Most people, when I mention coconut water, are thinking coconut milk. But coconut milk is actually a manufactured product where they take the white stuff out of the coconut and mash it up and make coconut milk. But coconut water is just the water that's inside the coconut. Actually, it's taken from a green coconut, a young green coconut, before it's ripened and turned brown. And I believe, anyway. And drained out, just the liquid that's inside of the coconut is just drained out there. And it's almost like water. It's like a kind of white-tinged water. It's really tasty. It's got it's like coconut, sweet coconut flavor to it. And they say that it has a lot of electrolytes in it and that it's good for you, and it's supposedly gaining some popularity as an alternative sports drink, or so I've heard. It also has a mild laxative effect, so, you know, keep that in mind. But we in this household are all about keeping regular, so no problem with that. Anyway, now to this coconut water, I'm adding a couple of teaspoons of this powdered, not powdered sugar, but superfine sugar, which dissolves extra quickly. And once again, I would remind anybody who's interested in superfine sugar, I cannot find it on the grocery stores for the life of me, on the shelves of the local grocery store. But I have found that you can just take regular granulated sugar and grind it up in a blender, and you've got superfine sugar. All right, so to this sugar and coconut water thing, I'm adding quite a bit of rum. Quite a bit. When I say quite a bit, of course, I mean a moderate amount. Just about that much. And now I want to stir this up and dissolve that sugar into the rum and coconut water concoction. And I think that is happening. So now finally, in the spirit of that Harry Nilsson song, I'm slicing up a lime, and I'm going to just squeeze the juice of a whole lime in here. I like to quarter it, and then you can just take a quarter or two at a time and squeeze the juice. Fresh squeezed lime, just nothing beats the flavor of fresh squeezed lime. Obviously, we're going for a kind of tropical flavor here, which is all very appropriate because although we are in the mainland of the United States, we are in a subtropical zone. It's not full-on tropics, but it often feels like it is sometimes, and then sometimes we feel more temperate. That's why it's the subtropics. Anyway, just a couple of days after Christmas here, we are still very balmy. Christmas was definitely short sleeves and shorts weather, and then it got even hotter. Today, I think we cracked 80, And it's a little humid, but not too bad. Not like in the summer when it's just punishingly hot. So it's been feeling very tropical. And I'm all right with that. And so I'm trying to go with it. I'm not particularly a fan of rum drinks. I don't know why that is. Maybe because I haven't mastered the art of it. But I've been drinking some rum drinks tonight, and this is going to be the final rum drink of the night. I'm adding some ice to that. I'm just stirring it up. And now I'm raising this looks like a fine, tasty, very appealing beverage. It's kind of a milky white, and well, I'm going to taste it. Yeah. I don't know. Probably not ready for prime time, but it's definitely an interesting flavor. Might put too much coconut water in terms of the ratio of the whole thing. I did have some Clément Creole shrub liqueur d'orange, which is an orange-flavored liqueur. You might be familiar with things like triple sec or Cointreau. I had a jar of this stuff, though, which is an orange-flavored liqueur that's based on rum. So it's got a quite of a different flavor. It's very, very sweet, very orangey. Doesn't have quite the burn, I guess, that some of those other liqueurs, Grand Marnier and whatnot, have. And I really liked it. And unfortunately, in some of the earlier rum drinks, the Acapulcos and whatnot that I was making earlier, I finished off this bottle, and so I don't have any left to add to this particular drink. That would add a nice kick to it, maybe. I think all that I'm going to be able to do is just add a little bit more rum. And I'm only doing this to offset the flavor of the coconut water. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of rum. I found that different liquors give you a different kind of, they've got a different kind of feel to the buzz, and I think your brain maybe becomes acclimated to one or the other. I mean, I'm not gonna suppose that one liquor is somehow superior to another in terms of the psychoactive way that it engages your consciousness. I'm thinking it's more of a learned thing that you learn to appreciate the kind of characteristics of one liquor over another. And I just haven't had a lot of practice with rum, and perhaps that's the reason that I find it a little bit unsatisfactory. But I'm working on it. All right, so a toast then to Jay in absentia. You may wonder, well, why is B flying solo here? There, what happened to Jay anyway? Why isn't he on the line, adding his inimitable perspective, his unique perspective on everything? Well, the truth of the matter is, we were going to record this podcast last night. Because of the time differential, it's an hour later here, and well, apparently Jay stays up a little later out there, so I was staying up until I guess 11 o'clock our time, which may not seem that late, but actually for us these days it is pretty late. We got it as parents of an infant child, we try to get sleep whenever we can. Whenever she goes to sleep, we try to go to sleep, and she basically is. Our daughter very much in sync with the diurnal cycle, so it seems like she pretty much goes to sleep when the sun goes down, and wakes up when the sun comes up, which seems like a pretty healthy way to live. Can't really argue with that. Well, this is of course the time of year when night is the longest and day is the shortest. In fact, we just passed the longest night of the year, the winter solstice. Just a few days ago, the 21st, and so obviously our daughter's dropping off pretty early. Maybe she falls asleep 7:30, 8:30, and we usually stay up and putter for an hour or two, get some stuff done around the house. But by 9, we're usually bedding down or at least thinking about it. But I stayed up waiting for the phone call from Jay that I knew was going to come because we'd set a date to do this podcast. And, unfortunately, it didn't come. So then again today, we thought, maybe we could reschedule for tonight. And so I was just kind of waiting to hear from him. Is it going to be on for tonight? Is not? And I was starting to get a little verklempt, a little uptight, getting later and later. Just thinking about going to bed an hour ago. But, Jay, to his credit, finally did get back to me and say, no, can't do it tonight. Well, of course, there was a reason for this, which he also communicated, which is that apparently out there in Missoula, Montana, Jay's household has been inundated by guests from his extended family, or perhaps his extended in-laws family. I don't really know. But the point is that being the hospitable type of person that he is, and his wife, Day, as well, I know that they are extending their hospitality to their extended family, and it's the holiday season, and so that's a wonderful, wonderful, heartwarming thing. And he felt that it would be rather unhost-like to disconnect from all the merriment and whatnot that we can imagine is going on out there at their house in Missoula, Montana, to disconnect from that and to say, hey, hold on, everybody. I've got to go record this podcast with this guy that you've never met from down in New Orleans. He apparently didn't think that that was really a class move. And as we all know, Jay is, if nothing else, a classy guy. So he has opted to forego the podcast this evening. But I felt that really, you know, the show must go on, to coin a phrase, or as they would say in the old vaudeville days, the show must go on. And so I'm recording this podcast solo and just sharing with you a few random sundry thoughts here at year's end. And, of course, a nightcap. Although, possibly not the best nightcap. I'm not sure that this is really the drink that's going to send you off to bed with a smile on your face. Because, not that it's not good. I think it's fairly good. I think it would be much better, say, around 1 in the afternoon, on a beach somewhere. But anyway, I'm getting distracted. That's neither here nor there. It's just possibly not the most nightcappy kind of drink. So, here it is, Saturday, December 27th. Very close to the end of the year. And this time of year, as a matter of fact, seems like a very special time of year for everybody. The fact that the calendar year ends here is just a little added something. But I think regardless of that, there is a tradition in most every major culture of the world, as far as I can tell, to celebrate around this time of year because of the solstice. And, of course, growing up, I didn't really know about that, and I was fairly conflicted in at times about this particular time of the year because I was confused about, the Christian tradition of Christmas, the solstice, you know, which came first, what does it all mean, and so forth. And adding to that, fairly, I try to take a fairly celebratory approach to life, but I've noticed that Christy, my beloved wife, really was not into the Christmas season at all, Christmas music and all this stuff. Well, that just really annoyed her and got on her nerves, so we tried to kind of play it cool with regards to this holiday season. And I had the feeling that if we had a child in the picture, that might change the dynamic a little bit, that all of a sudden a lot of the things that were annoying to Christy about the holiday season and so forth might actually become a little bit more appealing and more attractive. And we've had a chance to test this out this particular season, because this is the first holiday season that we're experiencing with a child. Our daughter just turned 10 months old, actually on the solstice itself, 10 months old, and so obviously her very first holiday season. And, of course, she's obviously too young to appreciate and to understand what the hell is this holiday season all about anyway. She's got no clue what's going on. She's just going goo goo gaga over anything. Bright lights being tossed in the air, whatever. It's, I mean, everything that she experiences is fairly new and novel. So the idea that this particular time of year is somehow a special time of the year, she doesn't have enough context to distinguish that it's special. It's just part of this flow of overwhelming experience, I'm sure, that she's trying to make sense of. And but my theory that Christy would find the holiday season more enjoyable through the eyes of a child, so to speak, absolutely has been borne out. In fact, she just pretty much has said so. And I think it is because of the fact that when you have a child, you try to see the world through the eyes of that child, and you see things, you see things anew, therefore. And I think that's exactly what's happening. Not just for Christy, but for me too. So, for example, tonight, although Christmas has passed, of course, tonight we went to this thing here, a long-running tradition that they have called the Celebration in the Oaks. It's in City Park here in New Orleans. And it's basically, you can kind of walk through this parts of the park, the botanical gardens and whatnot, and they've got all kinds of lights and so forth strung up and different displays. And it's just kind of a feast for the eyes, if you will. And we took our daughter there and walked around. And this is at night, obviously. You got all the lights strung up. And, man, she loved it. She absolutely loved it. And I loved it, and Christy loved it. And we all had a great time. And I've got to say, it was very, very sweet. And so I'm pretty happy about that, and pretty happy that things seem to be coming together. And I feel a sense of kind of, I guess you would say, convergence and what do you call it? I've got a sense that things are coming together in a number of different venues of my life. And this is going to add up to something fairly positive in the long run. I guess that's all that it really boils down to. So that's good. And what I've found, though, is that something about feeling good is kind of annoying in terms of trying to communicate to others. And I can see that I'm not doing a very good job of drinking and talking here. That's one disadvantage of not having somebody to talk to typically Jay can, you know, handle more than the lion's share of the conversation, as I'm sure anybody who's listened to this program in the past can attest. And that gives me ample time to suck down my beverage. But now that I'm talking without respite, I find that, that my drink is, I've still got a lot of drink here. So if you hear me pausing occasionally and hear a kind of sucking sound, I'm having a sip. I tried to sip extra loud there for your listening benefit. Oh, and that's another interesting thing. I'm speaking now to you. Who are you? You are the imaginary listener. I'm not even sure if there is anybody who's going to be listening to this, but presumably you are the person who's downloaded this audio off the internet and is listening to it. I expect Jay at least might give this a listen. Who knows who else might be out there listening to it? Did that give me I thought before we even started this podcast thing that that's kind of a key difference between our television project and this. Because when we started making the television show, Jay and I sat down in front of the camera, and we were talking, well, yes, to each other, but mostly we were addressing the camera. And the camera was a kind of a third person in the room, so to speak, the camera representing all the people out there in TV land, you know, the viewers who might be tuning in or might not be, you know, whatever, the imaginary viewer, and so we addressed the home viewer from the beginning, and that was always kind of the voice, if you will, of the television show, was to speak directly to the viewer. But I realized once we thought up this podcast idea, recording a conversation between Jay and I, that we wouldn't have that sense of addressing a third person, an imaginary viewer, imaginary listener, I guess you would say, but instead, we'd be talking to each other, and it would be therefore a little more intimate, a little bit more real, hopefully. Without Jay here, just talking to myself, I've got nothing else to fall back on but to talk to an imaginary listener. So, for what that's worth, and it's probably not worth very much. But we are here at year's end. And I've got to say that I feel pretty good about the year that has gone past. Obviously, when you look back over the past year and you try to think about the things that went on in our particular lives, there's one event that just seems so much larger than anything else. It kind of dwarfs everything else that happened in the year, and that's, of course, the birth of our daughter. I remember February 20th, Christy had a little confusion. She was out there getting her car started and waiting for some people in the carpool to come by, and there was a little confusion about who was actually driving. Turns out she wasn't driving, so she got in their car and went off, and then she sent me a text message saying, oops, she left her keys in our car. So, you know, I continued my morning routine, getting ready, brushing my teeth, whatever, all the various things that I do in the morning. And then I went down and checked on the car, and sure enough, yes, her keys were in the car. In fact, they were in the ignition. In fact, the car was on. It was unlocked, and the engine was running. And, you know, we live in inner city, the inner city. We don't have the houses are so dense here, we don't have any off-street parking, so our car is just right there on the street. people are coming past. There's a high school one block away, and so people are crowding into this neighborhood at this time in the mornings to get to the school and so forth. But, you know, no harm, no foul. Car is still there. I took the key, and I thought, boy, Christy, that, you pulled some silly shit in your lifetime, but this really takes the cake. Well, then that night, or in the wee hours of the next morning, her water broke, and 12 hours after that, our daughter was born. So we chalk that mental discombobulation up to the fact that the baby was on the way. And who knows? Maybe that makes sense. Now, this is, of course, would be a prime time for Jay to chime in with one of those just well-timed, penetrating insights that really cut to the quick. But he's not here. And yet the show must go on. So, to me, this is a time of renewal. Of course, in New Orleans, I've found that, obviously, the new year, no matter where you are, New Orleans or anywhere, is kind of usually a disappointing holiday. You go out looking for some kind of incredible party, and you never find it. And a lot of people choose just to forego the whole thing and stay home and play it cool, which I can totally understand because, like I said, it tends to be a big letdown. But we had discovered here in New Orleans a great tradition for New Year's, and that is this bonfire. There's a bonfire on Orleans Avenue every year at New Year's where they stack up the old Christmas trees and light them on fire. And I've got to tell you, I mean, there's so many thousands of people coming to this thing. Running around the bonfire supposedly brings good luck for the new year. So people are running around that. And there's so many people shooting off so many fireworks, which, by the way, in Orleans Parish, fireworks are illegal. So the whole thing seems highly illegal and highly dangerous. Or so it seemed to me when I've been there. But I came to the conclusion that, you know what, there is no better way to ring in the new year than to run around that bonfire. There's no countdown like 10, 9, 8, it's the new year, there's none of that stuff. It's much more chaotic and, I don't know. There was just something primal about it that seemed like, yeah, this is how I want to spend my new year. And actually at the beginning of, 1 year ago, we went there and Christy actually managed to run around the fire once, which given her advanced state of pregnancy was, quite an accomplishment. This year, it looked as if just actually a couple weeks ago, as if this whole bonfire tradition was kind of under threat. And this is a tradition. This bonfire has been going on for decades, according to some accounts, I don't know, the better part of a century. It's one of those things that's just evolved, and nobody knows who exactly started it. It's a classic example of a folk tradition. It just kind of arises organically, so to speak. There's no organizer. There's nobody who's responsible or liable. And that is usually a recipe for conflict with the modern government-oriented society. And indeed, that's what's happened. The city government, the fire department in particular, decided, this has gotten out of hand. It needs to be shut down. And so they took steps to try to shut it down. It looked like the bonfire tradition was going to be extinguished, not to be too cute about it. But turns out that, in fact, they did work out a deal at the very last minute. So it looks as if the New Year's Eve bonfire is on here in New Orleans. If you're in New Orleans, I recommend you go out to Orleans Avenue and check it out. There's going to be some restrictions. So I'm going to tone it down a little bit, I guess, but hopefully not too much. No fireworks, I think. I think fireworks are going to be strictly off limits, which is fine. And that's great. But, of course, we're not going to be there because we have a 10-month-old child. And at midnight, she is usually asleep. And if she's not asleep, it's because she's crying. We're trying to get her back to sleep. So we're not going to be taking her out to this loud, chaotic bonfire. But, you know, we do need to have some kind of fire ritual. I think that's the best way to ring in the new year. So we may just light a candle and, you know, dance around it a few times, something like that. And wherever you are, I encourage you to do the same. Well, I still